Thanks, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy. Welcome to the Tuesday version of our show. It should be a good one. Bridget Carey will be on later on to talk about technology. And then Rich Linkoff, our legal counsel, our legal advisor, will also be here. Hi, Wendy.
Hi. And something else.
What
You're
else?
Forgetting White Sox tickets.
Yes.
Family
we'll
four-pack.
Away a family four-pack. Absolutely. I hate to start the show on a sad note, but we just learned moments ago that a friend of the show has passed away. That was a very sad, jolting news.
Yeah, I don't have my information ready, but Val Camaletti, who ran Val's Hala Records for many, many years, I believe they're just about ready to celebrate, I want to say their 46th anniversary this weekend. They're having a special sale. We've had her on numerous times to talk about Record Store Day.
Mm-hmm.
She was a former Columbia Records executive. She had all these connections to these amazing rock and rollers.
Yeah.
And I did not know what was happening. I know that I follow her on Facebook. She reached out to me. She wanted to bring my puppy Kona into the store. And I said, oh, he's not potty trained yet. And she goes, I don't care. And I looked on July 3rd. She was over at Fitzgerald's for a music fest that was going on. The next thing I know, I saw that she was in the hospital. And someone texted Steve Cochran this morning that she had passed away. She was an amazing woman. My kids are 15 and 19. We went to Record Store Day. She took time to explain and talk rock and roll with them.
Yeah.
And my son Michael performed at Val's Hala. They had entertainment. She was a great friend to Terry Hemerits. Terry Hemert from WXRT. Terry was there on numerous Record Store Days, and this just is really sad news.
Would you agree with me that in the case of Val and of Terry Hemert, they're two people that are so knowledgeable and passionate about that world, about the world of records and music. And yeah, that's very, very sad news. It was always fun to talk to her. And I felt so bad for you getting that news just moments ago. It looked like you got the wind knocked out of you. And I understand that. That happens to all of us sometimes when somebody you don't expect, when you get that news,
yeah.
You just go, wait, how can that be? They're not here anymore? What happened there?
I know, and it just kind of happened. I don't know the whole backstory of if she was ill, but it's just heartbreaking to hear the news. I was looking at some of the posts on her Facebook page, and it was pretty sweet. Oak Park, she was a legend in Oak Park forever.
Mm-hmm.
Val's Hala, please go there if you like vinyl. It's a great record store, and I'll get that information about the anniversary that's going on. It's going to be very sad to go there, but I'm definitely going to go. There were people posting things like when I was this freaky, weird kid, I would come in and look at records and, you know, I didn't have a lot of friends, but boy, you were my friend and you would talk to me and I'd buy my crazy records.
Nice.
And it's like, you know, I hate to quote Diner, but every one of our records means something to us.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
They really do.
Yeah. There was a record store in Oak Forest when I was growing up called Hegwisch Records.
Yeah, I remember that.
Do you remember that? It was called that because their original store was in Hegwisch, Illinois, and they branched out and opened one in Oak Forest. So for anyone listening who's under the age of 25, you'll find this hard to believe because now you can download a record. You see a song you like, you download it, and 15 seconds later, it's yours. Back then, when we were in school, you would go in, you'd look through catalogs, you'd order records or 45s, and just 6 or 8 short weeks later, they were in your possession. You could listen to them all you wanted. Just 2 months later, it was a miracle, you know?
Well, that's what we really enjoy talking to Val about on Record Store Day. And a lot of new bands, contemporary bands, release their stuff on vinyl because it's made a huge comeback.
Yeah, right.
And something we discussed with Val is when you bought an album, you would take the cellophane off and you would look at everything on the cover. Then you would take the sleeve out and read the liner notes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just really a production. And that's what I don't like about downloaded music. I want to touch and feel and read.
Right.
And listen to that hiss as you put it on the turntable.
There's just so much more dimension that seems to be lacking now. And I know, like, if you're a kid, you go, yeah, but it's better now. It's quicker, it's faster, it's cheaper, it's better. Is it? Some aspects of it are better, some are not as good. It's a trade-off.
Yeah, I remember my cousins got a Sony Walkman when it first came out. And, you know, it was a Christmas celebration. The whole family was together. And my cousin John kept saying, put these headphones on. Listen to this. You won't believe it. And it was pretty amazing.
Sure.
And I thought, wow, that's pretty great. But it's not the same as you'd gather around, kind of like that 70s show in a bad basement and listen to music.
Did you do this? Like, if you'd hear a song on the radio, but you didn't really know what the title was, and you weren't sure who was singing it, you'd go into a record store and you'd go, I'm looking for a record, and it's like it goes like na 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 na, love 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 na 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 na, and they would just stare at you and they go, yeah, that's not a song. Whatever, you know, you're singing, that is not a song.
Val would have figured out what song that was.
Yeah,
and yeah, it's going on July 28th. Is that this weekend?
Yes.
Hollapalooza, Val's Holla Records, 46th anniversary. It's been going strong for 46 years.
So what do you think? You've been there enough to take an educated guess. What happens to that store? Does the store stay open? Is there somebody that you would think would come in and run it the way Val did? Or what do you think will happen?
I can't remember the guy's name that worked there with her. It's 239 Harrison Street in Oak Park. And I believe it'll stay open in tribute to her.
Yeah.
And if you've never been, you can go look for old vinyl. New vinyl, as I said, a lot of bands are releasing vinyl these days, and the most
they've had some pretty long games,
yes,
and so this is something, and I think the Rizzo thing, I don't think it would have been Rizzo.
Was he good?
He threw two pitches and got it out.
I mean, hit 60 on the gun.
Yeah,
right.
That's pretty fast for a first baseman.
So,
but now he got it out of his system. He's always wanted to pitch in a major league game.
He retires with a 0.0 earned run average.
Yeah.
For his one appearance, he retired the only batter he faced.
That's impressive.
Yeah, you know,
really?
I think there are a lot of guys who can go out there and do that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That's pretty fun.
Yeah, it was fun to watch.
Maybe you'll get your chance to pitch someday.
I hope so. Wouldn't that be magical?
All we are is dust in the wind, dude.
Wendy, I know you're kidding, but that's true. That's all we are, is dust in the wind.
Carry on, my wayward Bill.
My wayward Bill. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Later on. Well, you might have to explain that real quickly.
All right, Bill looks like the guy Bjorn from ABBA, and if you go to our Facebook page, there's a picture. It really looks like you.
A listener was kind enough to point that out and send over a photo of one of the guys from ABBA.
At least you got a handsome guy.
Yeah, I guess there's that, yeah.
You could have said you look like Marty Feldman.
No, thank you. That's true. I don't, by the way.
Not that much.
I don't think.
No.
Do you?
Not that much.
I don't think so.
I mean, I can see it, but it wouldn't be my first pick.
Right, well, thank you. Mm-hmm. That's very kind. Very sad news about Stormy Daniels and her husband, Wendy, are breaking up. Did you hear about this?
Didn't know she had a husband.
Yeah. Her husband is Glendon Crane, who Steve looks a lot like, actually. A lot like.
That's why Stormy keeps calling.
Yes. Yes.
You wish.
So.
Not really. No.
I would maintain, and I know this is
that you're not going to be able to have a healthy marriage when you're a stripper.
You stole the word. Well, not just stripper, but an adult film actress. Actress in italics.
I don't even know how people married to an actress. I mean, your wife is an actress. Has she done like a sex scene with somebody? Wouldn't that make you crazy?
Not that I know of. I hope not.
But you know what
she
I mean?
She would have told me.
I don't even... Well, you would have seen it.
Every time we're watching a movie at home and there's a scene, Sharon goes, I could never be... I don't know.
See, I don't get that either. I know it's acting.
When Terry and I met, and for people who don't know, my wife is an actress, and when we first met, she was doing primarily plays and some commercials. And I said, you wouldn't take a part in a play that would be embarrassing to anybody, would you?
Especially
and she
said, me.
I'm an actress. You take what's offered to you. And I said, that would be really uncomfortable.
Well, that's not fair of you to say that.
No, it's not.
I love that you just admit it.
It's not fair. I know it's not fair. But, all right, so there's a difference between doing a scene where you're kissing somebody or you know, holding hands or making out with them, and I was going to say a full-blown porn star, but that would have been a horrible choice of words, Wendy. An actor or actress who makes their living doing adult films, you know when you fall in love with them and then marry them, that's, I think, on shaky ground. Would you agree?
Yeah, because it's your acting. And when does real? I don't know. I kind of always like the people I made out with. Sorry,
that's the quote of the day. If they don't put that in the newspaper, something's wrong.
Actually, I think you're supposed to, Wendy.
You're supposed
to. Well, I know. So if you're acting and you're making out with somebody, that gets you a little closer. And I could see where you would confuse those feelings. Like, I'm supposed to, I like this person. Right. But I don't know if those are real feelings.
Wouldn't you love, though, to see the statistics on how many people in the adult film industry had marriages that lasted a good long time? And it was a happy, healthy relationship.
I don't care.
I just think the odds of that have got to be fairly slim.
Yeah, well, one would imagine.
Don't you think? All right. When I worked at WLS, we had Ron Jeremy in one time.
Isn't he nice, the hedgehog?
You know, as a side note,
he really
is the most polite human being I've ever met in my life.
Amazing eyelashes.
That's what got him so much work.
They're so long they cover them up down there.
I don't want to think about it.
Let's diagram that sentence.
No. Steve, did you know that Wendy liked most of the people she made out with?
That's shocking to me.
Yeah, me too. I'm still shocked about that.
Well, some people just do gratuitous make out. I was not into that.
But well, that's good.
Thank you. You almost said.
I got to change you in my columns then.
But I said, when Ron Jeremy was on, we talked about his career quite a bit. And then off the mic, I said to him, I go, look, I know this is personal and I don't want to ask you this on the radio, but how do you have a normal relationship when you do what you do? And he just smiled at me and he goes, that doesn't happen. And that's sad, you know?
He doesn't seem like he's missing any fun.
Oh, he's not missing any fun, or he wasn't at the time anyway, but wouldn't you trade that much fun? I'm serious when I say this. I would rather be in a relationship like mine, a very happy, healthy relationship with one person, than a guy like that who's been with probably thousands of women, right?
Again, I don't think about this stuff.
But don't you think, like, most guys go, oh, wouldn't that be the life?
No.
You don't think so?
We women are a pain in the butt. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know if every guy wants to play the field like that. I think everybody likes to settle down at some point.
Steve, haven't you, in the course of your lifetime, met a bunch of guys that would say that would be the ideal life? A different woman every day, every week.
Who do you hang around with?
To be a porn star?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
There's guys who believe that.
Who do you hang out with?
Sailors.
Well, but then, you know, other people watch.
Yeah, there's that.
The performance anxiety would...
That'd be crazy.
That would not work for you guys.
Crazy. That's not a problem.
Oh, jeez.
And the lighting. I know what the lighting's like for me, and I'm not in adult films.
It takes like an hour to set up, doesn't it?
Right. Move that scrim. What's a scrim?
I don't think I know any guys that would say, God, that would be the life. I swear to God.
There's guys like that.
But I don't know them.
I don't. And that's an unusual one for me too, Bill.
I saw pictures. All right, so there's pictures all over the internet today of Stormy Daniels and her husband, Glendon Crane. And he looks relieved. He looks like a weight has been lifted off of him.
You don't know that.
That's it. I'm just saying he looks that way.
All right.
He may not feel that way, but his look is deceiving then because he looks like, oh, finally. You know, he's got that, oh, I can breathe now.
He could have bailed.
I think he did bail. Isn't he the one who called for the divorce?
He looks like he's a porn star, too.
You know what he looks like? He looks like somebody from a House of Wax.
Yeah, he's had plastic surgery.
Had some work done. I think she may have, too.
He's prettier than she is.
I think that's what's causing the split up. I'm pretty sure it is. Stormy Daniels and her husband, Glendon Crane, have split. Does it say who he is or what he's done for a living?
He's a musician.
With who? Do we know? Is it a band that you've ever heard of? I can't find it anywhere in the story. Or that he's a musician. Her lawyer said that they have split up. Stormy Daniels and her husband filing for divorce. The porn star's lawyer announced on Monday. Boy, her lawyer has been a busy man.
Yeah.
That's the busiest guy in the world. This just days after denying that the couple had split when it emerged during Daniels' arrest report stated that she was single. Lawyer Michael Avenetti, who, by the way, as a quick side note, says he's considering a run for the presidency. Did you read that?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's thinking about being president.
With Stormy, right? She's the vice?
Oh, is that true? Well,
no.
She's involved in vice. I don't know if she is the vice.
That's how Pence got the job.
Really?
Oh,
really? The lawyer, Michael Avenatti, tweeted the divorce petition filed last week. The news came just days after Fox confirmed that Daniels had canceled several strip club appearances. My client, Stormy Daniels, and her husband, Glenn, have decided to end their marriage. A petition for divorce was filed last week. Stormy's daughter remains her number one priority. She kindly asked for privacy for the sake of her family.
Kindly.
Kindly.
I don't know what he is.
That's sad.
Yes.
But not unexpected. But unexpected, because we didn't know she was married.
I didn't know she was married. Right. I don't assume those people are married. Well, I know that's bad.
Or just that he might have been already gone, because she's done a lot of appearances.
Yes.
Where,
yes.
So
yes.
They probably have been estranged all through.
I guess you could assume that. I don't. Who knows?
So let's go back to your porn star friends, Bill.
Yes.
Yeah, really, because I swear to God, when you said that, I don't like
friends of mine currently, but guys go through this phase when they're in their late teens or early 20s where they think to themselves, what would be better than that sort of lifestyle? But the reality is, that's not a good lifestyle.
This sounds like an ED commercial. Not friends currently.
Right, right.
Bill, why are you sitting in a tub?
That's a whole other story. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then it's Tech Tuesday.
Thank God.
Thank goodness it's Tech Tuesday.
It is a technological Tuesday, a Tech Tuesday, if you will, and we will. Bridget Carey from CNET, senior editor at CNET, is with us. Bridget, happy Tech Tuesday.
Oh, happy Tech Tuesday to you as well.
All right, let's get right into this. We're running a little late. I was using Chrome on my web browser, and there's some weird stuff that's popping up.
Oh, yes. Today is the day where we all will see annoying pop-ups of sorts saying that your connection is not secure. And really what's happening is Google's Chrome browser has decided that today is the day where they want to encourage every website to not just start with HTTP, but to be HTTPS, the S for secure. And if it doesn't have that TTPS, there'll be a little warning pop-up that might scare you. It'll say your connection is not secure, you should not enter any sensitive information on the site, and, I mean, it can happen on big media sites. We saw it on, like, ESPN.com, you know. It's not that it's not secure, but what they're doing is hoping that they can encourage every site. Normally, you used to see this on banking sites, right? Like, oh, no, I don't want to enter my password. I got a warning that it's not secure on a password kind of site. But now it's anywhere, and they're basically just trying to force everyone's hand to kind of move to this new world where we don't have to worry about, security as much if everything has the S at the end of it.
Why just Chrome? Why not? I use Firefox mainly. How come that's not doing it?
Well, Google is the one behind Chrome, and they kind of want to lead the charge of forcing everyone. You know, they kind of are one of the leaders, right, in browsers, and they've been doing different things to kind of force the internet to change the way it operates. In this case, Firefox and the rest, they're all kind of on board with this. The others don't have big pop-ups, but everyone supports a world where we have more security, right? And that when you don't have HTTPS, what it means is that ads in the background could run and put something on your computer. It gives it an extra layer. It's a good thing. But what Chrome has done, even in different aspects too, they kind of turn audio off on auto-playing videos, and that kind of caused publishers to find other ways to have videos autoplay in different ways. Ad pop-ups, you know, like these browsers are setting rules essentially on how we interact with the web.
Bridget, can you explain something to me? The other day, I got several warnings saying, if you see a story anywhere saying that Rowan Atkinson, the British actor who played Mr. Bean, has died, don't click on it because it's a virus. It's called the Bean virus or the Mr. Bean virus or something like that. First of all, why did they choose Rowan Atkinson? Second of all, is that a thing? Can they just plant stories somewhere about somebody dying or whatever story they want, and if you click on it, you have a virus? Is that a real thing?
Okay, I am Googling the Mr. Bean virus.
Yeah. Can I just tell you how much I love Mr. Bean? So this is exciting for me.
Yeah.
Okay, here's what I would tell you. And it looks like, yeah, this kind of went out 5 days ago and was really scamming a lot of people.
Yeah.
There are malicious websites that just visiting them, yes, there could be a script in the background that runs. Sometimes it's JavaScript or something, or an ad, like it's supposed to pull up an ad, but instead of pulling up an ad, it's actually downloading something in the background of your computer. This is very rare, but yes, it could happen. And it's rare because why would you go to a random site? Oh, no, you clicked the link and you didn't think twice. So, you know, a little scary how easy we click and don't, you know, think twice about that kind of stuff. So
yep.
I don't know about this particular one, if it was really, you know, sending people to something that they could download. I'll have to look more into it. But it is something that feasibly, yes, could happen.
Hmm. All right. I just learned today, I wondered why some websites were HTTP and some had an S on the end. I thought it was just plural, but it stands for security, and that's what you're looking for these days, correct?
Yes. In fact, you know, most sites are just doing it automatically, and I think in the next week or so they may all, you know, kind of convert and start doing it automatically, because no one wants to turn away a visitor because they get worried that they see a pop-up. You know, another thing I would say about that Mr. Bean thing, because I'm kind of looking more about this stuff. If you ever go on a site and you need to log in to Facebook to read the content,
yeah,
warning flag, because yeah, probably just trying to get your login, and then you might be spamming your friends. And so never log in, you know, to a portal thinking you have to read something. You know, don't just log in through Facebook or your email address or Google, you know.
But I want to see how Italian I am, because I'm, you know, I take that quiz and I got 100%.
Oh.
They're so tempting.
You'll find out a lot more about you when all of a sudden everyone's being spammed on your friends list.
Hey, Bridget,
you know, your friends hate you now.
I want to see which of the Facts of Life girls I'm most like. You know it's Tootie.
Yeah.
It's going to be Tootie.
All right. And some games. I have a game household and some Ghostbusters fans. There's big news for Ghostbusters fans everywhere.
Oh, yeah. I mean, who's not a Ghostbusters fan? But you remember how Pokemon Go took over our lives in 2016 with that smartphone game? Well, the tech is getting better, and a separate company has made one that is like that, but for Ghostbusters, where you run around town catching ghosts with your proton pack and, you know, essentially, you know, kind of having that mixed reality where it looks like you're really at the bus stop, but, oh, no, there's a library ghost there, you know, that kind of thing. This is coming out later this year, but we got a chance to see a little bit of a preview at the San Diego Comic-Con, which just took place. So they're really, you know, pumping this up. We don't have a release date yet, but it looks to be that, you know, the way our phones are getting more advanced and how they can process augmented reality, this like mixed reality kind of location gaming, you're going to be seeing more of these. I think one just also launched from another company that does The Walking Dead. It puts zombies that you have to run around and kind of interact with, although I haven't played that one because zombies scare me, but nevertheless, you're seeing a
virtual
lot of
zombies.
Yeah.
And Bridget, that one puts the zombies, the Walking Dead people, wherever you are, wherever your hometown is, all of a sudden you're walking around there and you see them coming at you, right?
Yeah, and there's little missions, like you have to go to so many feet or like a certain type of place in your neighborhood to get a power-up. When I played Pokemon, like it was the gas station or the bar. It just randomly picks places. It's not a reason for it. It's just a couple of feet away from you, but it's like, oh, there's a store there. Or it's automatically going to turn that store into a place where you can get bonus, you know, points. And so I actually live right next to a store, and I would do it out of my window because I was really lazy.
So. Do they have to check with that business to clear that, or is it just assumed they'll want that business?
No one ever, you know, did it with permission, essentially, because it was just randomizing. But some businesses then worked with the company that made Pokemon and said, hey, can you make my store? Because I want that business. And then so some places became, like, I remember seeing that there were, like, signs outside of businesses going, we are a Pokemon stop, and come on by, and trying to encourage the young people to
sure.
hang out at their soda shop or whatever.
Oh, all right.
People are still playing it. Stephanie, one of our bosses here, posted something on Instagram, and people are just walking around still playing it. So Pokemon Go is still a thing. Mm. But
What I think is interesting is that they're talking about how it's getting more advanced, where let's say you have a Pikachu that's running on your desk, but there's things on your desk, and it doesn't look real because, you know, it's just jumping over the whole visual. But now they're going to make it so Pikachu can maybe go behind your telephone or behind your computer, and it'll be able to sense in real time, oh, there's a plant in the way. There's someone's walking in front of me. It's going to go behind the person. Like, that's interesting how the computer can process that so quickly.
All right, well, I'm playing Ghostbusters. I'm warning you now, people. I want to get slimed.
Mm-hmm.
For reals.
Mm-hmm.
Bridget Carey, you can find her at CNET.com. Happy Tech Tuesday to you, and we'll talk to you next week. Thank you so much.
Talk to you later, guys. Bye.
I'm going to play. You're not going to play?
No. No. I'm good with real life, but thanks. All That's right. very nice of you. We'll take a quick break, some news, and then there's a lot more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thanks, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Welcome to the show. Rich Linkhoff will join us in about a half an hour, and we'll talk about all things legal. I'm thinking about suing you, by the way, Wendy.
What did I do?
Suing you. About a year and a half ago, I don't have the exact dates on me, but they're in my file. I have a file cabinet, and all the exact dates are there. You and other people connected with the show shamed me on air for wearing blue jean shorts.
Jorts.
Yeah, you could say that. And I look
Mom
over
jorts.
Today, and I see that you...
Girls can wear them.
...are wearing those same blue jean shorts. I don't mean the exact same pair, although I haven't seen my... I don't know what happened to mine.
Your daughters and wife threw them out or burned them in the backyard.
They forced me to throw them away.
On men, they don't work. I still see them for sale at American Eagle Outfitters and other places.
Everywhere where they sell fine clothery, they sell jean shorts for men.
And how many times have you seen men wearing them walking around?
Not as much as the old
millennials,
days.
Maybe.
But they're wearing them to be ironic, right? They're wearing them to be
as
defiant.
As a throwback?
Yeah. To say,
retro.
Look, society, I don't care what you have to say. I'm wearing what I want to wear.
I have about 8 pairs of jean shorts, and women can wear jean shorts, and they're totally acceptable.
I find this very sexist.
Well, plus, I got to tell you, I've worked with you a long time,
yeah.
And I think you got those jorts when we first started working together, because they were like painter style, with where you put the slide rule and the little hook for the hammer.
I had 2 pairs like that. They're all gone. I had to get rid of all of them.
The My cargo daughter's- shorts.
Yeah,
No. They were painters. Like, they used to call them painter's pants.
There's loops on the side of them. Is that for a hammer? I don't know what that's for.
Of course you don't, because they were really made for Dickies made those kind of pants, because you'd put your ruler and a hammer in that loop. And then people thought that was a cool look, so they started making it. No one knew what they were for.
I had no idea. I'd put an American flag in there, a flagpole. I'd slide a flagpole and then walk
that's
around.
That's a look that I'm imagining.
Very
not
patriotic.
A big, full-blown flag?
Yeah, like a 6-footer.
Wow.
It hurt my back. I threw my back out.
When you were in high school and we're the same age, I'm 6
You're
months
older.
You're
a lot older than me.
The Oshkosh made painter's pants, and
they
were like a creamish white, and they were all the rage. I had to have a pair. Yeah.
I loved them. They were so comfortable.
Yeah.
But they did have that area for the slide rule, and then you could put your hammer in there. They were workman's
pants.
But
who just walks around? I guess if you are a workman, you need quick access to a hammer, because there's always going to be some nail you got to knock in there. But for a guy, for just your average guy, you don't walk around with a hammer.
No, but sometimes when I'm on a ladder and I'm either doing changing a light fixture or doing something, I have like a screwdriver or something. So I should get myself a pair of those pants.
You should get those.
I'm going
You'd
to.
You'd be ahead of the game.
I can put the screwdrivers in the little slide pocket.
Yeah.
Like overalls. I mean, overalls are back now.
I had those too.
Yeah.
The engineer striped ones. Man, Oshkosh was all the rage.
Yeah.
They're awesome.
Yeah. All right. So since it's been a year and a half that at home I was shamed by my wife and daughters, and at work by you primarily, other people agreed that they had to go, and I got rid of all of them. But then since then, I'm very careful to notice, like when I was in Maine, there were guys walking around, they had them on.
Were they young?
I was in New York. New York is the fashion seat of the United States. That's where,
I guess it is. For women.
For everybody, for men and women and kids and dogs, it's New York. Whatever they're wearing there on the runways in New York, they're wearing everywhere else. So I looked around, I go, in New York, they're not going to be wearing them. No, they wore them. Guys
they weren't
wore them.
Young people? Because I know our old producer, Kevin Richter, wore them.
He did.
And
you
were,
didn't make him get rid of them.
He looks good in them.
Do you know
he
how,
wore them really
you know how
short.
Much that hurts?
Yeah, but Bill, yours were old fashioned, and I don't mean that in a good way.
Because they said vote for Eisenhower on the pocket. Is that why you say that?
Kevin's were like short cutoffs, and you know,
he sold them.
He kind of did.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
No, that's hurtful.
Yours were too baggy. They didn't show what you really have.
Did you ever think that maybe that's what I wanted or didn't want?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe, maybe. All right, so here's what I found in conjunction with this. This is according to Best Life Online. These are things that if you're over 50, and you are, Wendy, these are things that if you're over 50, you should not own anymore. Can I share them with you?
I probably have some.
I bet you have most of these. Let's find out.
I don't want to get old.
Do you still have a futon anywhere in your home?
Just got rid of it maybe 5 years ago.
Finally got rid of it.
Yeah.
When was the last time anyone used it?
My mother-in-law used it. It's probably been since Dylan was born.
Oh, yeah?
She would come out. That was in our that was in the Star Wars room, which was our spare bedroom.
Yeah. Did you have a Star Wars futon?
Oddly enough,
futon?
A what?
A proton futon.
Oddly enough, no.
No?
But we had it at our old apartment, and we had an extra bedroom when we moved into the house pre-kids. And
yeah.
So we kept it. But yeah, we got rid of it probably 10 years ago.
And college kids still use them, so that's we have a futon in our basement. It was one of my kids'
college.
They're not
comfortable.
But that's
oh, they're awful. It's
that's who should have
there.
Them, though, Mayor, is
yeah.
College. Like,
yeah.
I remember when I graduated from college, nearly everyone I know said, you know, if you ever want to stay over, I got a futon. And I go, that's not going to sell me.
And some jean shorts.
Right.
That you can borrow.
It's a package deal. If you sleep on the futon, you got to wear the special shorts. All right, I'll do it. If you're over 50, you shouldn't have any unframed posters. Do you have any of those, or anyone in the house have any of those?
Yeah.
Who's over 50? Yeah.
Oh, who's not? No, not over 50.
Kids can have unframed posters. You could buy
thumbtacks.
A poster. And yeah, you put it up with thumbtacks. But as an adult, if you want to look like you know what you're doing in the world of art, you got to frame it. Put it behind glass.
Although I have this extremely huge, super-sized Bob Marley poster. I think I had it up at Q101 in our office. It's like really big.
Yeah.
I couldn't afford a frame that size.
Really?
It's That's really bad. Big. And then the sheet music to My Generation from The Who.
Framed?
No, because it's like half a wall.
Oh, you still got to frame it, don't you think?
Well, I don't have it up.
Oh.
Because
oh,
I can't afford a frame.
Oh. Do a GoFundMe page.
I will. Everybody's doing GoFundMes for everything.
Pitch in on this.
Now, I only need probably $200.
Oh, then do it.
All right.
That's
yeah.
not terrible. All right. This one I totally disagree with, mostly because I have one. A treadmill. Why would they say that? If you're over 50, you need a treadmill.
We had one, and it just accumulated junk, so we got rid of it.
What about an elliptical? Does that count?
It doesn't say, Mayor, but
probably
it's probably in the same family.
Oh, man. Yeah, we got one, too.
Do you use it?
I do. When it's over, you know, 90 degrees and when it's under 20.
That's when I use the treadmill is during the winter all the time. I'll turn on a game. And I'll
Where
just,
do you have it?
In our family room.
Mine's on my front porch.
Wait, really?
I have nowhere else to put it.
It's, so you bring it in on a hot day and stay in the air conditioning?
No, it stays on my front porch. My front porch is air conditioned, too. So, but people watch me. I'm like, hello.
That's weird. The mail carrier comes
up.
Oh,
yeah. It's pretty funny.
Just leave it there.
Right.
Can't I kind of like it. I get to see what's going on in the world, you know. While
I like
there.
The elliptical. That is a good idea, though, because I don't like watching TV when I'm on it. I'm
no,
sorry.
I can't. I feel like I'll fall off.
But when I'm on, like if I'm running and I put a game on, a baseball game, the time just passes. I don't even think I'm running. I'm just watching a game. It's great.
Yeah, I could see where
it's
that
so
would
much
work.
Easier. Or the news will be on or just any show. I love that's like my wife likes to run for real. Like she goes out
outside.
On the yeah. But I go, no, you're gonna see the same thing all the time. I mean, I know she takes different paths, but for me, it's a show or a game or the news.
And it's even pavement. I have bad knees, so running outside, you don't know when you're gonna get a big crack in the pavement
right.
or hit something.
Right.
Treadmills, although I like the elliptical much better.
All right.
With
so they're wrong
yeah,
on this
too.
One.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break, and then there's more of these. If you're over 50, you should not have any of these things. We'll tell you what they are next, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Oh, should you not love Ted Nugent? Musically, not his political beliefs.
After
50?
Good question,
because I do.
Wendy. Good question. So many texts are coming in. We're talking about blue jean shorts primarily. I'm not allowed to wear them. Wendy, for some reason, is encouraged to wear them. It's very
Women
confusing.
Women can wear them.
Very confusing. I think you had mentioned that if you have the blue jean shorts with a loop in it, you could put a hammer or nails in there. A texter said, I do always need to nail something. I think that's dirty. I'm pretty sure that's dirty, Wendy. And then, unless you're, this is from 773, the entire area code got together to say this. Unless you're playing basketball or in a pool, adult men should not, all caps, wear shorts at all, not of any fabric. And then it adds, Pete Zimmerman agrees with this.
Pete Zimmerman does not wear shorts. Because he's too cool to wear shorts.
One of the producers on the Steve Cochran show.
With Justin Kaufman
as
well.
Yeah, longtime producer for Justin Kaufman.
I've known Pete a long time. I've seen him in shorts, I got to tell you. But recently, my son Michael is like that. He always wears his Levi's.
Yeah.
Boot cut.
Yeah.
I'm like, why don't you wear shorts? Nah, I don't like the look.
Interesting. They're not for everybody. I understand that.
But they're comfortable, especially when it's 85 degrees.
So comfortable. So comfortable.
Real men don't wear blue jean shorts, says 224. Hmm. And then I mentioned our producer, Kevin Richter, who wore them. And they said, somebody texted and said, so what you're saying is Kevin was running around in Daisy Dukes at work. 630 says that.
Yeah.
He was.
Pretty much. Yep. These are things that, according to Best Life Online, no one over 50 should own. These are things that if you are 50 years or older, you should not own. Underwear with a funky design or portrait of your favorite fictional or real person on them.
Like underoos?
Yeah. Or you know the ones that have the Burger King on it that say Home of the Whopper? Once you're 50, you can't wear them anymore. It's a rule.
You should never wear those. So get rid of them.
Regardless of your age. What's with this one? A mini fridge. Why?
I get that because that's your college age thing, but I'm going to go buy a mini fridge for our basement.
I would love one in the office.
I have a mini wine cooler.
Oh, that's even better.
No, that's awesome. What you're supposed to get, but I wouldn't put wine in it. I like red wine, and it doesn't need to be chilled.
Oh, right.
A little bit chilled is nice.
Yeah.
I like mine. Yeah. It's cool.
Yeah.
You want one in the office?
Mary has one for her wine in the office.
Yeah, I got one right under traffic.
Drinking
Central
a Merlot
desk.
Right now.
I'm getting a mini fridge for our office.
I prefer Chardonnay.
If you're over 50, you should not have tickets to Lollapalooza.
I don't believe that.
No?
I have never gone because I'm a poser. It's too much for me. And if I love someone that's there, I'll just go see them when they're by themselves.
Yeah.
I can't do all those people.
The last 2 years during Lollapalooza, I have taken the train from Evanston to downtown Chicago, and it's filled with kids going to see Lollapalooza. I've never felt older in my life than those 2 days. When I'm on a train with kids that are a third of my age, you know, just go, well, I always think I could blend in, but now that I'm amongst them, mm-mm.
What's the last concert you went to? And how many years ago has it been?
Because
I want to go see ELO. They're coming to town. Mm-hmm. I don't go very frequently, but I still go to rock and roll shows.
You know, Steve and I are going to see Air Supply. You know that. That's coming up. But I can't remember the last time.
What is it, ladies' night?
Jasmine, write down what Wendy just said and the time of day that she said it. 11:24. It's probably been 10 years since I've been to a concert.
Okay, because you would shun me and tell me, you're really going to that show. I still like going to a concert.
Yeah.
I really do. Why do you give me funny looks? I don't go very often, but there are people who are 60 who still go to shows.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
I don't know.
Lollapalooza, I think that's fine to go if you want to go.
Yeah. You wouldn't feel old and out of place at Lollapalooza.
I honestly don't feel old and out of place anywhere but here in the studio with you.
I will take that as a compliment.
And I don't want to go to Lolla. Like I said, it's too much going on.
Right.
But I like going to concerts.
I'm just afraid Chance the Rapper will call me up on stage and we'll have to do a duet. It just gets crazy. I don't know. Wendy, if you're over 50, and I say if ironically, you should not own a t-shirt with any profanity on it. You know that bull shirt that you wear all the time? Stop it. It's offensive.
I have a couple rock and roll shirts, which I have a Loop shirt. I purchased a Loop shirt when the Loop went under.
Yeah.
I should have just gone to find Larry Wirt because he's probably got a closet full of them somewhere.
I'm sure. I'm positive he does.
No, I spent $25, but I wear it loudly and proudly.
Mm-hmm. You should not own a wristwatch that looks like it was a prize at the bottom of a cereal box.
No, get a nice watch.
Get yourself a nice watch. Although most of the things I own look like they were prizes from cereal boxes. even my dress-up stuff does for some weird reason. Now, this one I learned the hard way. Don't wear jeans that don't quite fit.
I got to compliment you, and it's going to sound like a backhanded one, but I don't mean it to be. You got new jeans, and we all noticed because they
stepped it up.
Because they fit you.
Right.
They look nice. The other ones
were very baggy.
They were, and it's not like your underpants showed or anything. You didn't have them low.
Well, I wear them on the outside.
You're going to start a new look.
Yeah. Everybody for years has worn them on the inside. That's ridiculous.
But the weird thing is you wear tidy whiteys.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And I would sometimes, to be funny, would put the wrong day of the week on them. And everybody would call me out on it. This is Thursday. You're wearing Wednesday. I know. I know what I'm doing.
They didn't make days of the week underpants for boys because I had them in high school.
Did you have
probably
them?
Junior high. Yeah.
Not anymore, though, right?
Friday was black.
Oh, nice.
Saturday was red.
Yeah. Yep.
That was funky time on the weekend. Sunday was white, oddly enough.
Was it really?
Yes.
If you're over 50, you should not have these. I'm gonna amend this to, if you're over 50 minutes old, you should not have these Crocs.
I don't get
that at all.
I'm sorry for the Crocs company because they're the ugliest
don't
things.
Don't feel sorry
I have
for
ever.
Them. They've made billions of dollars off of plastic shoes.
And I've heard they've got high heels now. Crocs.
Do they have high heels?
Yep.
Okay. When I had my first knee replaced, it was Mary Sandberg Boyle, who now produces The Cochran Show, was the producer for Steve Dahl's show. And when I went to get my knee replaced, I got a gift basket, a get well basket. Little did I know it was my parting gift from the show.
Yeah.
But Mary purchased two pairs of Crocs, and she said, I thought these would be good for you. It was a really super thoughtful gift, and after your knee replacement, you don't want to slip and fall. Chefs wore them. A lot of people in the medical business wore them. I hated them.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Your feet stink.
Do they really, Mary? Why?
I don't know.
They're plastic.
Rubber.
Oh, I guess.
Or whatever they are.
Yeah.
But they're ugly. Your foot kind of goes down at the heel instead of up. They're not comfortable. The toe box is very wide, and I know that's for comfort. And then it turned out that nurses and doctors couldn't wear them anymore because there was some kind of static buildup that was going since they are rubber. And then they'd touch a machine, and the machine would short out and stuff.
Wow.
They're ugly.
They're unfashionable and dangerous.
As sin. I've heard people say that. I've never used that really before. I didn't know sin was that ugly.
Sin is ugly.
And I've seen the Crocs flip-flops. Ugly.
Yeah.
And heels, I got to look into those just to see how ugly they are.
For when you're dressing up. When you're going someplace nice, you got to put the Crocs heels on.
I'd rather wear the easy spirit that the girls played basketball in.
Yes. That's a better look. Far better look. All right, we'll take a quick break. We've got news coming up next, and then right after the news, Rich Lankoff joins us to talk about what's going on in the world of law. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy and WGN.
GN.
Are you getting jiggy with it?
I am exactly doing what you just said, Wendy. I am becoming jiggified. Look who's in the studio. It's our friend Rich Lankoff to talk about all things legal, as we tend to do. Rich, people can listen to your podcast on WGN Plus, right?
It's not called All Things Legal. That's another show I used to do back in the 80s.
Oh,
this is Legal Face Off.
That would be a good title also, though.
Yeah. Yeah. How about The Legal Eagles? Do you like that one?
That's a good one. Also a Deborah Winger, Robert Redford movie from the 80s.
A long time ago. Let's start out by talking about a very, very sad story. In Branson, Missouri, last week, we had an incident where people on a boat, one of the duck boats, lost their lives because the boat capsized.
I can't stop thinking about this story.
Horrible.
Was it seven people from a family out of nine? Seven passed away?
Yeah.
I can't stop thinking about this.
Yeah, obviously terrible story.
We've all been on a duck boat, haven't we?
I've been with my kids very frequently on duck boats, this is a tragedy. From a legal perspective, we just taped our show, Legal Face Off, and talked about the liability of the boat operator. Inevitably, you will see lawsuits, obviously, from the families, well-deserved. They will probably file in state court. Here's an interesting legal issue, though. There might be limits to their ability to recover under a statute from 1851.
Oh, boy.
Believe it or not, something that's been used in the Deepwater Horizon case, in the Titanic case. There's a law from 1851 that may shield the liability of the operators from damages. The idea behind this law was back in 1851, you wanted to encourage people from engaging in maritime commerce and from buying big ships because you were trying to get that, you know, going. In exchange for engaging in maritime commerce, this law shielded owners from liability for damages. This law, if it applies, would limit the victims of Branson to recover solely the value of the sunken boat, which is nothing, right?
Yeah. I mean,
the value of this boat is almost nothing. So if this law applies, then they would be shielded from liability and the victims could recover almost nothing. Now,
I did read, though, that, excuse me for interrupting you, the NTSB was the one that was in control of these boats because the National Transportation Safety Board, it was a vehicle as opposed to a boat. Does that have anything to do with
yes,
it?
Yes, and that's why, yeah, exactly true. And I was going to say that that's why it can. Maybe this law doesn't apply. In a similar tragedy in Philadelphia a few years ago, the attorneys were successful in keeping this in state court, and I think the average recovery in that case was about $2 million. So, yes, exactly to your point, that would be a reason why this statute would not limit liability and would allow victims to sue in state court.
How does this enter into the storyline? There are reports that passengers aboard the boat said, what about life vests? Should we be throwing life vests on? To which the captain said, no, you know what? No big deal. Don't worry about the life vests.
Yeah. That's
negligence, man.
Nope.
That boat was rocking. We all saw the videos. At that point, doesn't he say, mayday, mayday, put the life preservers on or life vests?
No question. Everything you're mentioning would be strong evidence in favor of a negligence suit. The jury would hear testimony that exactly what you said. The captain said, you won't need life vests. The captain would hear very significantly testimony, or not the captain, the jury would hear significant testimony about this type of vehicle and the warnings in the past about the canopy. We've all now learned about the canopy being dangerous, the structure of this boat, the fact that there was windows on either side. The inspector who inspected the boat called it a passenger trap.
Yeah.
Basically, it funneled people to only one exit. So all
it's like a baggie.
Yeah, no question.
It gets filled up with water.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be an easy case. You know, usually these don't get to a jury for obvious reasons. That, you know, you want to settle it before it gets to a jury. But yeah, the question before a jury, if it got that far, would be all of the evidence that you're mentioning and whether the boat operator neglected its duty of care to passengers.
The other element is the decision to go out on a day where the weather wasn't very suitable to going out on a boat like this. We've all been to an amusement park on a day that's kind of overcast and rainy, and they'll close rides down because they're afraid that the weather could cause some sort of a mishap. Why wouldn't the boat take that into
account? And there was a weather warning that was reported prior to this boat leaving.
Yeah, I've seen that account. I've also seen accounts, however, that the weather came on fairly quickly once they were on the boat. There's a couple of accounts who say that when they first got on the water, it was fairly clear and the weather turned fairly quickly. But no question, the degree to which the boat operator should have followed the weather warnings and not send people out is going to be a huge factor. The other factor, however, to look at in these circumstances is whether there was a waiver, whether there was a release. Typically, before you get on this kind of boat, you often sign a release of liability or a waiver. That could be a factor. Also,
what does that do, really, though?
Well, you know, it's a good question because that does, on the face of it, shield the owner of a carnival ride or a bouncy house or a boat, in this case, from liability. But that is not the end of the story. There are actually several steps that someone who is purporting to use that as a shield of liability has to show for that to be effective. In other words, if you sign a waiver before you go out jet skiing, that does not in of itself shield the owner from liability. If you sue them, they have the affirmative duty to show a couple different things. They have to show that you actually read the waiver, that you were aware of what it said, that the parties were in an equal bargaining position. So the waiver, even though it says very clearly on that the shield is from liability, a crafty lawyer can get around that in court. So in this case, I don't know if they signed a waiver. We haven't seen any reports of that, but that would not be the end of the story. But just one last point on that. you know, you mentioned the weather reports. There would also be an argument. And again, the difficulty for a defendant in these circumstances, as we saw in the MGM case we just talked about on your show last time, the difficulty for a defendant in a sensitive case involving death is you don't want to, you know, turn around and blame the victims. That's what MGM seemingly is doing in their case against the Vegas shooters. In this case, though, you might argue, if you're the defendant, that the passengers assumed the risk of going on the boat when they went on the boat, and they knew that the weather wasn't good, so they assumed the risk. Now, you're making a face. That's the face that a jury would probably make,
but it is
a legal argument that you often see made.
I'm making the face because you'd say to yourself, if you were a potential rider on this boat, these guys do this every day for a living.
Sure.
They should know whether or not this is safe. I don't do this every day, so why would I know?
Absolutely. There's no question that of the two, the operator of the boat who does this every day should be in a better position to assess whether it was safe. But at the end of the day, you know, you are responsible for your actions. And if you assume the risk of doing something that is dangerous, not saying that that's what they did in this case, but that is an argument that would ultimately be made if this case went to a jury.
And all that's all said and done here, these summer storms do just pop up out of the blue. They really do. And it can happen. Some girl got hit by lightning at a concert. It's been happening. Maybe it's just because we're hearing about it more often, but they really do come in unannounced.
Absolutely true. And the fact is, I mean, most of these releases, most of these waivers do mention acts of God as not being covered for that very reason. I mean, you're on the water. It's inherently dangerous. And you assume the risk when you're doing something that's inherently dangerous, even though it seems innocuous, like, you know, a duck boat ride.
Yeah. When a judge or probably a jury is deciding a dollar amount to award, how did they take into account, like, as Wendy pointed out, this family lost seven people. So you got to somehow figure that into the equation, don't you?
No question. You know, the jury, I mean, there's no one answer for that. The jury looks at a lot of different factors, including, and it's, you know, very difficult to put a value on this, and it's very, you know, heartbreaking to when a jury has to make this decision and when an attorney argues it. But one of the key factors is how long they survived. You know, unfortunately, the cold reality of assessing damages is look at. And it's really, Bill and Wendy, by the minute, you know, the longer someone who's dying has to, you know, deal with that, the more damages are. I mean, unfortunately, the quicker you die, the less you're going to recover. And the idea, you know, being you have to suffer. And if you have to suffer there for an hour, you know, that is going to be a huge factor in assessing damages.
Yeah.
But they look at, you know, they look at the age, they look at the family member's loss, they look at a lot of different factors.
I can't stop thinking about a couple
horrible.
That was married for 45 years or something, a grandma who saved her grandchild, and you had the details on that. She did what?
Yeah, there's a 12-year-old with her grandmother. The grandmother was visiting Branson for the first time. This was the first stop they made in Branson. They had planned to do shows, restaurants, etc. And the grandmother, who was, I think, in her late 60s, her last act was pushing her granddaughter, this 12-year-old, up, and that propelled her to the surface, and she survived. The grandmother did not.
It's heartbreaking.
You know, incredibly sad story.
Wow. All right, let's do this. We'll take a break and then more with Rich Lankoff.
All right. Congratulations to Dave from Glen Ellen, or Glen from Dave Ellen, or Ellen, Dave, and Glen. They are going. They're all going. They need one more person because there's a family four-pack of tickets to the Chicago White Sox versus Kansas City Royals. It's happening Wednesday, August 1st, 7:10 game. Listen for that White Sox sounder, and when you hear it, we'll tell you what caller to be, and then you'll win seats to the Sox all regular season long. Very congratulations are in order to Dave, Glenn, and Ellen. And Sean Spicer has a book out, and he wants you to buy it. So he's going to be on the Steve Cochran Show tomorrow morning at 6:40 to tell you all about it.
It's a sticker fun book.
It should be.
Isn't that amazing?
Can I make a correction? The family that lost loved ones on that boat, that duck boat accident, 9 out of 11 family members, not 7 out of 9.
Even
9
worse.
People, one woman was left and her nephew survived, and it's just terrible.
There's going to be a memorial service on Friday in Indianapolis for them.
So sad.
Coleman family.
Thanks, Ryan. Yeah, awful. Please keep us up to date on the Michael Cohen case. What do we need to know about this, Rich?
Rich Lankoff is here.
So, yeah, I mean, there's no shortage of Michael Cohen news. From a legal perspective, it's really interesting because, you know, we've heard about the tapes. There is a lot of calls to release the tapes that he has.
Of the president.
Of the president talking about the Stormy Daniels and also, well, not Stormy Daniels. Actually, the tapes involve the Playboy.
McDougal, Karen McDougal.
Correct. So he tweeted, I think yesterday, that the tapes were privileged and the release of them were illegal. Well, he's wrong, as you might be surprised to hear, being Trump's tweets. But he actually removed the privilege when he released them. He actually released them first to the judge in the probe involving his attorney Michael Cohen. So those tapes are not privileged. A lot of people are talking about whether it is legal to tape your client. At the time, it's not clear, first of all, whether Michael Cohen was acting as Trump's attorney, right? We've heard a lot of discussion about the fact that Cohen is a fixer. While he's a licensed attorney, he might not have been operating as Trump's attorney. But
how
let's
did
not,
they determine that? What do they need to do to figure that out?
That's a great question. I mean, it depends what you know, what the relationship was and whether he was paying him, right? I mean, you can be someone's attorney without being paid, but paying him is one factor. But by all accounts, he wasn't acting as Trump's attorney for this. But, you know, for your listeners, I think it's important to understand the difference between whether taping Trump was a legal act versus whether it was ethical or whether it was privileged. So those are two separate things. New York is what's considered a one-party consent state when it comes to taping someone. In other words, you can tape someone on the phone or in person, even if they did not consent to it. You only need one party's consent to the taping. In this situation, Michael Cohen, obviously because he was taping, was the one who agreed to it. So the fact that Trump did not know he was being taped does not in and of itself mean that it was illegal. Illinois, for example, is a two-party consent state. You and I both have to consent if we're taping a conversation. That's very different. So by all accounts, it appears that the taping was legal.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah, of course.
Is that law in place for cases exactly like this?
Absolutely. Cases like this where, you know, you're trying to gather evidence. Whether you agree that that is proper is a different story.
Yeah.
But there are many states that have one-party consent. Now, that's a different story, or that's a different question as to whether an attorney should be taping their client. I mean, by all accounts, you know, I think anyone would tell you that's unethical. That's not right. I've never done that.
Assume everyone's taping you from this point forward, though.
I mean, no question it raises a lot of concerns about the relationship. But, you know, I think it's clearly unethical for an attorney to tape his client without the client's consent. But at least in New York, it's legal.
So depending on how deep this goes, if you're Donald Trump's attorney in this, Rudy Giuliani, do you make that your primary argument of whatever is said on this tape? You can't use it in court because you didn't have proper consent. Is that the battle you go for?
It's going to be tough, even though Trump has now said that, you know, the tapes are privileged and disclosing them are illegal. They've already disclosed them.
Right.
So he has waived the privilege. The, you know, client, in this case being Trump, can waive the privilege. The privilege is not absolute. The other thing is, if the tapes involve discussions or plans that involve illegal action by the attorney, that's another reason why they're not privileged. So, you know, we don't know. We don't know what the tapes reveal. You know, Michael Avenatti's been on a couple of different stations this morning talking about how they could touch on those issues and they should not be privileged. But there's no question that they are not privileged anymore because of the president's own actions.
Interesting. That's Rich Lankov. Rich, always a pleasure to talk to you. Always fun to see you. And again, if people want to hear your show, your podcast on WGN Plus, what do they need to do?
They have to go to WGN or WGN Plus, and we're on there. Legal Face Off. We're on everywhere else you find your podcast content, iTunes, and we're all over social media.
And we taped our latest Saturday show, morning cartoon.
Saturday
right?
morning cartoon. Absolutely,
it's gonna be fun.
We have a puppet show on the side. But our latest podcast from our tape just earlier this morning is released today. We had Alan Dershowitz on discussing some of these issues and some other great guests.
Excellent. It's Rich Lankov. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll turn things over to Steve. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.